Now, I like doing what we're doing here because it gets me out of the normal flow of doing revival meetings. I probably wouldn't have taught this particular lesson in a revival meeting, but it's more like a Sunday school type of lesson or a Wednesday night thing I'd do if I was just kind of passing by and going through on a local ministry. But boy, is it needed today in every situation as far as relationships are concerned. Now, my word of prayer, but let me set this up for you. Does anybody remember back when we had COVID and the world shut down? Does anybody remember? I mean, it's been a long time ago, people. No, it's thrown in our face every day, and people are still wham-wham about it. But you know what? The devil had a heyday because he did what he wants us to do. He wants us to isolate ourselves. He doesn't want us going life to life every day looking to introduce people to Jesus. And boy, did he score a lot of points during that situation that time. Now, I don't know how sissified you are, but I had COVID 3 times. I'll tell you now, I don't just do things in a short way. I'm an achiever, okay? I wanted to beat everybody else. The first one about killed me. I was trending, folks, before it was trending. And it about killed me. The second one, kind of bad, but in comparison, nothing. Third one was a lot milder, but I had it nonetheless. Well, as your church and every church in the country shut down, as far as normal operations are concerned, my ministry was nil and void, to say the least. Now, I did do a couple of things, and I was just with the church here just a little while ago. We did a parking lot revival. That was a hoot and a holler. You know, the only thing really dangerous about a parking lot revival is when you get the invitations and the cars start coming forward. You know, get out of the way, Martha. They're coming. They're getting right with the Lord. No, that's so hokey. My wife groans every time I say that. But I did that. That was in May of 2020. You know, that's when everything was just a no-no to be anywhere within 60 miles, let alone 6 feet apart and all that sort of thing. So that was fun, but my summer was gone. I mean, I was working at Northland for like 2 months plus and doing the staff training, you know, administration, preaching, doing all kinds of preaching, but that was all gone. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? My wife especially was going, oh, what am I going to do? I mean, she's stuck at home with me, and I'm as bad as your pastor. I'm a nervous nerd. I always got to have a project going of some sort. So folks, just every once in a while, break something in the church so pastor has something else to do. Y'all with me? I know, not bad, because he's not that talented, but break something, you know, so you can keep the boy occupied and away from Karen's, you know, having a normal life. So, folks, he lives in a rented building now. It's driving him crazy. I've been with him when he has built fences, you know, back porches. I mean, the guy just always planting. The guy was a planting maniac at his house. And so he's a little this way at this point as far as projects are concerned. Well, I'm the same way. I'm a nervous Nord. I like to stay busy. Well, what happened? I got a phone call and a rescue opportunity. There was a church down in Columbia, South Carolina. It's about an hour and 20 minutes from where I live currently. And they said, Brother Maynard, we're going to do something a bit different. I said, okay. Now, it's a pretty good-sized church. They said, we're going to have a family-wide vacation Bible school. We're going to do it every Wednesday night of the summer months. And we think you're the only one that can pull this off. I said, you have my attention. What do you want me to do? Well, we're going to have everybody meet together in the auditorium. And we're going to have a skit from the staff, you know, kind of start things out. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to give a missions report. And they showed several videos of folks, how they were dealing on the mission field with COVID and all that stuff. Very, very, very much a heart tugger and a blessing. And then I did a few kids' songs, maybe a fun song, whatever. And then sometimes I did a special, and then we just go right into just a short challenge. And here was the title of the week. They already had it dubbed, Family Matters. Now, that's a good thing, because it was real popular back, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, well, you know, just matters. Well, you know, my elongation of that particular title was, Family Matters Matter Because It Matters to God. You know, families are still precious in God's sight. And he still, in the Word of God, tells how it's supposed to be put together and set forth as far as operation is concerned. So I was really excited and up for the challenge, to say the least. Now again, drove back and forth. Was it a lucrative opportunity? No, it was so funny. The first time I got there, they didn't even give me, the first session, they didn't even give me enough money to pay for the gas coming and going. And I had to really adjust my attitude. Are you folks with me? I know, trust and obey, God will provide, but I'm going, really? I mean, because you might remember, I'm not working, no worky, no pay. Y'all with me? I get carnal too, people. I'm here to tell you right now. So, but the next week, the guy apologized, says, the treasurer wasn't here, and that's the only cash I had on me. I just started laughing, and I confessed my sin to him, and we both laughed together. But what happened, when I heard family matters, this is my carnal upbringing, okay? The only thing I could think of is Carl and Urkel. Y'all with me who I'm talking about here? There was a show called Family Matters. And the nerd guy was Urkel, accordion player. He loved Wisconsin. You know, he played all that sort of stuff. And Carl was the dad, and he was a policeman. And it was just corny, like a lot of sitcoms and silly ones like that, or Carl. But you know what I did appreciate about that show? They always did respect Carl, the dad, as a policeman, as well as a dad. Boy, that didn't happen on too many sitcoms, if you've ever been tortured by what goes on back then as well as now. It's even worse today. Dad's always the doofus brain. Dad doesn't have a clue. But the mom, I would have shot her like second day of marriage. Okay, she was one of those. But even though she was very strong in her presentation of life. Did I say that nicely? Yeah, even though she's, stop it, woman, one of those type of things, okay, which I wouldn't do. It just, I wanted to. But, you know, even though that's true, listen to me carefully, she still at the right time submitted to her husband's leadership. And I thought, boy, at least if anything else goes on in there, that's a good testimony and a good teaching. Well, what happened in the midst of all this? Of course, we were doing it this time of the summer. And what's next Sunday, boys and girls? Let me ask the boys. Hey, boys, what's coming up on Sunday? You're going to blow it. It's Father's Day. That's when you massage your dad's feet, you know, wash him first. And, you know, you just serve him breakfast in bed. You go wash the car. Right? Yes, come on. Come on, listen to Brother Mater. You be nicer than nice to your dad all the time, but especially on Father's Day. Well, in the midst of that, of course, I'm doing messages on what it is to be a good dad, a leader of the home, mom, what her position, children, and how it all works together in harmony. But I came up with this, and I already asked Pastor what he was preaching on Sunday. Of course, Father's Day, I don't want to steal his thunder. But I'm just going to start with this. This is not my message. This is just the bonus round, okay? I found it. Larry Huffhand put this in his note. He did some new ones today. It was really good. But these are seven, again, fundamentals of being a good dad. Sir, I would take notes if I were you. So here they are. Here's number one. First of all, a good dad is one who is truly saved and committed to Jesus Christ. Nothing works right unless that's in working order. I don't care if you're a dad or whatever your status of life may be. Again, a good dad is one who is truly saved and committed to Jesus Christ. Number two, a good dad is one who is faithful to the local church and honors the pastor. You know, kids learn how to hate the local church many times via their parents. You know, and their attitude as well as participation or lack thereof. But moms and dads should be the pace setters of faithfulness. And again, understand it's not a have to, it's a want to. And as long as Joshua said, as me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. As long as you're under my roof, this is a priority. Because we need more of the local church. For not just to be fed, but for the fellowship. And one we don't really think about, also for accountability. That's what's good about being faithful to a local church. You can get checked up on, you can check up on other people in a discipleship-loving fashion. So a good dad is one who's faithful to the local church and honors the pastor. Number three, a good dad is one who is separated from the world. Now, folks, you know, as you get older as a parent, why do our children always pick up our worst traits Are you all with me here? I mean, I do have one or two good things for them to again copy and be a part of their DNA, but it seems like they catch on to the not so good ones along the trip here. But folks, let's give them as best we can set forth. Because a good dad is one who is separated from the world. And here's the next one. A good dad is one who is passionately in love with his children's mother. Guys, you right here, this you're at this good stage life. Embarrass them to death. Kiss all the time, you know, embrace and give the googly eyes to each other. If they're not doing it, you know, it's time to start, okay? You all right? And that would just, the boys would just go, ew, gunky. But again, don't just say, I love you, I told you that, we got married, ain't that good enough? No, it's not. Love's not just something we say, it's an action you take. It is. And your boys and your children, I don't care what age and stage of life your children are in, they still need to see this from your life. A good dad is one who is passionately in love with his children's mother. Now, some of you, that's kind of weird, but I come from a kissy family. Y'all with me? I mean, I kissed my dad, but I didn't kiss on the lips. Are y'all with me here? I thought that was gunky, all right? But we were, and I still, you know, we see brothers and sisters, we're hug and we kiss and all that stuff. But you know what? That's just kind of like a foreign language to some people. But folks, don't be ashamed or hesitant to express with action your love one for another. Here's a good one. A good dad is dedicated to the overall well-being of his children. In other words, a dad's not a sluggard. Dad's not a lazy bum. No, dad's a get-it-done guy. It's not, honey, get out there and get a third job so we can have more toys of the world. I see that way too much. No, a good dad is dedicated to the overall well-being of his children. Number six, a good dad is a man of deep devotion. You know, I want my kids to say, you know, dad wasn't perfect, but boy, he really loved the Lord. You know, I want them to hear that in my conversation, the choices I make. I want them to see that. I want it to be living through my life, not just something I preach, but something I practice. Nothing is more important than my Jesus. And my kids have learned that because when push came to shove, as far as choices are concerned, we put Christ first in our home. Athletics, social activities. It was no question in my children's mind, heart, and observation that Christ was preeminent. And number seven, this is a good one to close with here. A good dad shows his children by example how to work. How to work. Now, if you met my nine grandchildren, it would scare some of you women to death just to think about having nine children. But you know what I appreciate about my daughter and son-in-law? Many things. They're spiritual people. They love the Lord. But they've taught the kids how to work. Now, my son-in-law's a contractor. He blessed us, built us a house. But guess who we're helping build the house from the six-year-old up? All these kids, whether it's clean up or, you know, use a nail gun, that's dangerous for a six-year-old. But all those things, that was just normal. And the way to live, the thing to do, they built their own house. But now my son-in-law's taken from the youngest to the oldest, and now the oldest is 20 years old. He could run his own construction company. That's how much he has worked alongside with his dad. Matt knows him well. They're just wowing people. But you know what? A dad needs to show how to get a job done, a good work ethic. Now, again, that's the bonus round. That's not the challenge for tonight, but a good reminder as far as that responsibility of being a dad. I think it's worth our time. Here's the title of tonight's challenge. Talk to me. And I got in brackets here, talk to me biblically. Now, as I've mentioned to you before, and we got some new folks here, especially via internet here, I've been in evangelism over 33 years now. And before that, I was a church planter in my hometown area. You talk about having some challenges, a prophet without honor in his own home. They knew me in Portland, Indiana as an entertainer. Now, I don't think I shared this with you last time. I got saved, and then like 2 weeks later, I'm on the Lawrence Welk traveling show that's coming to town. And I sang with Bobby and Sissy, Myron Florin playing his accordion and stuff. I was heading to California to be on the TV program. I mean, I was set up and I had all the connections. Well, all the hoity-toits of Portland, if there are any, you know, they all knew me as an entertainer. Now I come back to Portland as a fundamental Bible-believing, rip-snorting, you know, pastor planning a church in that area. Well, what happened? Like a pastor does, I had a ton and a ton and a half, folks, of counseling opportunities. And you know what I learned real quick in my counseling endeavors? Usually the problem's communication. Now, finances, you know, all that stuff. But it usually came down just talking and dealing with things from a biblical perspective. Now, I want to show you how to talk and communicate from a biblical perspective. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, would you please? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to do something here. I thought everybody knew this. And I guess I'm just a little naive here. But I want to show you here in this passage what it really means to communicate in a biblical way. And it's very clear in this passage of Scripture. Now, I pastored in a town called Portland, Indiana. That's not very far from where Mrs. Austin, where Karen's mom and dad were up in Bern, Indiana. That was the Amish capital of Indiana besides Shipshawana, Indiana. Maybe you've heard of that before. But it's right along the eastern side of Indiana. Now, 2 hours directly west was a town called Lafayette. Does anybody know what Lafayette's known for? Yeah, Purdue Boilermakers, yeah. And that's a big college town, and that's really what kept that place afloat. But for Christians, it's also known for this, the Faith Baptist Biblical Counseling Center, or the New Thede Counseling Center. And it was started by a guy by the name of Bill Goode. He's home in glory now. But I'm telling you what, as I pastored, he was so gracious, kind, and so good to me. But Pastor, he always introduced me as his friend across the state that never came to his counseling training opportunity. I mean, every time he introduced me, I don't care where we were together, but bless his heart, he came over, was a part of my ordination council. When I was going through a church split, he said, Mike, you come to over here for us. We'll give you an office. We'll go out to eat with our head deacon and with me, and we'll just talk through this scenario that you're going through. So here's what he was after. So you don't react in the flesh, but you respond biblically. Isn't that the goal for every relationship, every circumstance of life? Well, I didn't take the sessions, but I did take a hold of the information. I'd go over there all the time because the Wilds Camp down in North Carolina would take their full-time staff up there every year to be a part of this New Thede counseling ministry. Now, a name you might know, Jay Adams. Have you heard that name? He's kind of the guru of that New Thede counseling operation and stuff. But these four things are just, I think, really helpful in any situation you're going to face as a parent or as a church member, a co-worker, just in your neighborhood, folks, how to communicate biblically. I'm going to give you four things. I encourage you, write these down. Maybe pastor's been through it, but we need to be reminded again. The first one, it seems kind of amazing we have to say this, but be honest. Be honest. The key word, look down with me if you would, first of all, in verse 25, it says, wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I almost preached on lying this week to the kids because I've got a song called Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, Hanging from a Telephone Wire, but I didn't seem to have time to work that in. But I want you to go to verse 15, a key verse as far as communication is concerned. It says here, but speaking the truth in love. Now, folks, wait a minute. Can you speak the truth and not speak the truth in love? Oh, yeah. We do it all the time. You know, we say what needs to be said, but not, listen carefully, not with the other person's best interest in mind. That's what love is. Did you hear that again? Did you hear that? I think I've mentioned that. Love, again, is concerned about how what you're saying or what you're doing will affect the person that you say you love. And what, who you care for. So love has the other person's best interest in mind, even in the comments you made. It may be a right, truthful statement, but you didn't speak the truth in love. Honey, that outfit looks terrible. Where'd you get that, woman, at the tent and awning sale? That's one of the ugliest. Y'all with me here? A lot of times we'll say the truth, but are you speaking the truth in love? Here's a good statement I found. Honesty is not license to be unkind. Another good statement. Any speech that hides or distorts the truth, like exaggeration, embellishment, innuendo, or passive aggression, it fuels the conflict rather than resolving it. Now, teenage girls are the worst at this. Y'all with me? You girls, you were there a long time ago, some of you, okay? Maybe it just seems like it was yesterday. But remember that girlfriend would come out and she's trying to dress like Twiggy, but she looks more like the trunk? Y'all with me here? Y'all with me on this? And she comes out and you don't want to hurt her feelings. I just don't want to upset her. Oh, you look so good in the neighborhood. Girl, you look fine in that outfit. She looks terrible. And again, if you can't say something nice, finish with me, don't say anything at all. It's, you know, when I see a baby that's not really a good-looking baby, I just say, oh, boy, that's a baby, you know. If it's a cute baby, I'll just brag on it. And, you know, if it's close, I might get a little smooch on the head or something. But there's some ugly babies out there, you with me? But you know what? You don't have to tell everything that's going on in your brain and heart. That's directed by a fleshly foolishness. If you can't say it nice to help the person, just keep it to yourself. Now, listen to me. There may come a time where you may need to go to them as a close friend and help them make better choices. Y'all with me? But just to slam them with the truth, you're not doing it biblically. Yeah, your wife burnt the bacon, just like her mother did. She didn't know any better. You know, or whatever the case may be, men, how do we respond when we're disappointed or we think we need to straighten this place out? Well, many times we speak the truth, but we don't speak the truth in love. Can I have an oh my from the crowd, please? Oh my, it is truth. Let's go to the next one here. Keep current. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and listen to the warning and instruction of these two verses. Now, some people love the first part of verse 26. Be ye angry. And boy, they lived that testimony their whole existence, even as a believer in Christ. No, keep reading. You know what helped me with anger, folks, as much as anything? That little phrase, hate the sin, love the sinner. You surely you've heard that. Yeah, hate the sin. Be ticked off. God, Jesus Christ himself hated sin, but he always showed unconditional love toward the sinner. That'll help a marriage. I'm telling you right there. So be angry, but continue on and sin not. Don't let it go to the point of carnality or fleshly release. Well, I just need to get this off my chest. Keep it in your chest, okay? Again, if it's not helping, then just zip it. Don't just back off. Count to 5,000 if need be, but don't mess up your testimony, your ministry, or again, just crush the person or the people you say you care for. Be angry and sin not. And here's the keep current thing. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Look up here, boys and girls, for a illustration that may be familiar to a home in which you live in. Husband, wife, watch this. They go to bed. One goes east, one goes west. Are y'all with me here? And what happens? They let the sun go down upon their wrath. What happens when you don't deal with today's problems today? Well, you build up a stockpile of verbal weapons that are going to be pulled out in the next opportune time. You're just like your mother. You know, that never worked in my marriage. Are y'all with me here? I've learned not to say that statement. God has given me wisdom. later on in life. Listen, you won't have ammo as a stockpile if you deal with today's problems today. Don't give the devil a foothold. That's what it says down in the next verse. Neither give place to the devil. Kids, even with you boys, listen to me. Mom and dad break your heart. Or you're upset with mom and dad. Don't go home and have a pity party. Wham, wham, wham. Get the ambulance. Don't go to bed angry because, listen, adults and young people, if you don't deal with anger, what will it turn into? Bitterness. You know, of all the decisions I've seen dealt with at camps over the years, and I've dealt with folks, thousands of teenagers in these past 33 years. You know, salvation's a biggie. Submission for God to be the boss of the life, biggie. But you know what probably comes in number three? How many teenagers are full of bitterness? And even junior campers, that dad is an overlord. My way, the highway, you do it or die. Oh, that's such a Christ-like example. No, they don't communicate biblically. They try to force something to happen that only Jesus can do, and that's called being conformed to the image of Christ. And isn't that the goal we have as parents? To help our kids know Jesus, again, to be more like Him, to in turn do more for Him, and help their kids know how to, again, represent Jesus in a biblical way. Deal with the problem at hand without having unresolved conflicts. That's what it is. Unresolved conflicts, because you become like the National Guard Armory of verbal abuse when you don't deal with today's problems today. Look at verse 29. In verse 29, it's attack the problem and not the person. Ooh, how about that? Attack the problem, not the person. You always, you never. You know that's not the truth. It may be irritatingly repetitive as far as the offense is concerned. My wife and I have a couple of little tender spots in our relationship that I just get so frustrated with, because for 40,000 years that I've been married, I've dealt with this same scenario over and over and over again. And when it happens again, I have trouble being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Are you people with me? I just want to go, aren't you listening? Can't you hear? Am I just a poor communicator? I get that way. And you get that way as a parent, don't you? You know what parenting is? Say it over and over and over and over and over and over and do it as long as it needs to be before it takes and becomes a part of who and what they are. Don't give in or give up. We were talking about this with his daughter and my daughter. You know, with 9 kids, it's just nonstop confusion. Are you with me here? I mean, words are flying even when they're asleep. It's just chaos there. And as a parent, you can go a deaf ear to the conversation or, again, the choices of what's going on. We can't allow ourselves to do that. You know, just teaching them right and wrong, but especially in the matter of helping the kids be conformed to the image of Jesus. I understand you're tired, you're weary and well-doing. That even happens in a marriage relationship. But folks, it's worth the effort. And if you're going to have that home, that relationship to please Christ, you got to stay attuned to the voice and leading of your loving, wherewithal God, who will give you again the stuff to get it done. Yeah, I have a visual I do with kids all the time. I didn't do it this week. But about as far as edifying people, look at me, boys. Look here, look here, look here. Hey, hey, where's Samuel? Did he fall asleep? I'm like Salmonex. Okay, here we go. Watch me. We're here to build people up, not tear people down. Huh? Is that good? Let's all do it together, boys and girls, no matter what your age may be. Watching at home, would you participate too? All right, let's go. Ready? Get your hand like this, everybody. We're here to build people up, not tear people down. But they need to hear what I had to say. Probably not. Not with that attitude. You're not speaking the truth in love. You're not necessarily even trying to straighten them out. You just think you're the fixer of all things at all times. You're kind of stuck on yourself. And you're a fool as far as communication is concerned. Again, rightly representing Jesus in biblical communication. We're here to build people up and not tear people down. I had a situation, and I think Matt and I have talked this before. I had a bigwig in a Christian organization come after me and called me everything but the right name. Y'all with me here? I was blown away. And he just wouldn't stop. I finally said, stop! I said, please stop! And what he did, he assumed, look at me. Oh, look, folks, write this down. He assumed, he accused, he never asked. He accused me of this and accused me of that, but he never asked, Mike, do you have a problem in this area? Mike, what are you doing about this? Isn't that easy to do? He assumed maybe I'm as wicked thinking as he is. He assumed that I was a part of this because you know what? I had, in a sense, and he doesn't know this, but I befriended him on purpose because I thought he needed a friend. And I shared with him some things about my past life that I didn't talk with everybody about. So when this scenario came out, he assumed I was doing this. He accused me of doing that. And it wasn't the truth. Is this brain defiled, polluted, and messed up? Yes. With my past life, folks, yeah, I'm not there anymore. But you know what? Those thoughts and those pictures and those activities, they don't go away. And your flesh brings them up more than they need to be brought up. But he assumed, he accused, he didn't ask. Don't assume you know what your wife's thinking. Does a man ever know what the wife's thinking? Talk to me. I don't think so. But don't assume that you know. Ask them. Don't accuse them, even your children. You're just a wicked lot. No, you're just not communicating. Don't want to take time to mess with what needs to be messed with to fix what's broken in a biblical way. That's why people get divorced. That's why they go south as far as relationships concerned at work or in the neighborhood, in the local church. That's why churches blow up from the inside out because folks refuse to deal with things biblically. So again, don't forget those little words of encouragement. Don't assume or accuse, ask. Let me show you the last one here. The last one's act, don't react. Act, don't react. You know what? Someone smacks me. Guess what I want to do, boys? I want to smack them back. And that's just not physically. That's even verbally. When I get hurt, I go into defensive mode. My pride kicks in. My defense mechanism go into overload, and I have a tendency to rely on the flesh and reasoning instead of responding in a Christ-like fashion. Let me show you the Christ-like fashion. Look down with me at verses 31 and 32 and we'll be done. It says, let all bitterness, all, underscore the word all. You know, it's amazing to me how people in local churches, one family sits on one side of the church, another family sits on the other side of the church because they have unresolved conflicts. And over the years, they probably even forgot what they were upset about. But it's led to a point of bitterness that defiles them and it messes up the local church. Don't let that happen here. So again, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, what? Be put away from you, even with the wrong thinking, folks, with this malice business. And here's the program of Christ-like communication and response. And be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? What's the depth? What's the degree of this? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let me do it again. Be ye kind one to another. You know, we're usually the least kindest to the ones we are with and love the most. It happens because the familiarity factor kind of enters in. We take each other for granted. That can happen as you love these folks in this church. Even though you say you care, you don't show you care. You with me? There's no forgiveness. Tenderhearted. Again, caring enough to back the card up and think about it and what's going on from a biblical perspective. Folks, I'm telling you right now, the devil doesn't like what's going on in this church. Do you hear me? Because you're going forward to do more for Jesus Christ. You proved that last week. You know, the numbers are small, but hang on for the ride. God always honors faithfulness. And folks, we got to choose to be faithful or it won't get done. But in the midst of that, remember what we preached on, kids? Attitude determines action. You know, we can get sucking our thumbs, feeling sorry for ourselves. Y'all with me? So here is the representation that God desires to come. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how hurt you are. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I wrote a song. I didn't do this for the kids, and I know we didn't take time to do this last time, but I'm going to give you one that's not recorded yet that's a keeper here. It goes like this. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Huh? Huh? Isn't that good? Guess what? You're going to do it with me, okay? So get your hands out here. Let's try it. Ready? This is a keeper. You need this in your repertoire of ministry opportunity. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover. Now you got to get real mean looking, boys. Come on, give me that mean look. Some people will be mean. Or ready? Weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. We all know that person, you know, who calls you ugly names, makes you want to fire back with even uglier names. Let us not react or go on the attack. What? Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Here we go, boys and girls. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover. Show me mean people. Some people will be mean. Look at your husband or wife as you do this. Some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Then there's you know who. Can y'all say that? Then there's you know who. What kids like this one? Who's meaner than a snake? Can you do that? Who's meaner than a snake? Every time, watch this. Every time he comes around, your whole body shakes. Let's do that. Your whole body shakes. Don't go picking a fight. Just choose to do what's right. What's right? Let's just do nice. Let's just be kind. And let's be nice and kind to one another. So let's do the chorus. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God's sake, for God's sake, has forgiven even you. So, Pastor, why don't you